Man.
Fusion, man, what a joy it is to be with you. My name's Levi. I have the privilege of being on the staff team, one of the youth pastors at CA. And let me just... I love you. Let me just add my welcome to the welcome that has already been extended to you. Man, it's such a joy for me. I call Fusion home, and it's been a long weekend. We're finally happy to finally be here at Fusion with you guys, and it's so fun to me. So some of my worlds colliding. I'm like, look, friends, look at my people. Look, like my people talk. It's awesome, and so it's so good to be here with you guys. I want to honor the leadership of CA, Tom and Mark, for giving us the opportunity to run this weekend. It's always a bit of a gamble when you let the young guns take over a service. And so it speaks to their determination to raise up leaders, to raise up the church. And so I want to honor them. Also, I am so aware that it's Memorial Day weekend, and I want to be sure to honor people that have served in our armed services as a nation. So if that's you, if you've served in our armed services, would you just stand right now so that we could honor you and thank you? Thank you. Man, I'm so excited about tonight. But before we jump into it, I need to give you an update. For those of you that have been around the past few weeks, we've been excited talking about this night of prayer, ministry, and worship that we're going to have as part of this Holy Spirit series. Here's the deal. We thought, yeah, we'll have about 200 people RSVP. False. We had over 750 people RSVP. And first, what I want to say when I hear that is my church wants more of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen. And that's exciting to me. However, it's an exciting problem because we can't quite facilitate all that many people at one service. So here's the plan. The original night was Thursday, June 6th. We're still going to have it then, but we're going to have another night the day before, Wednesday, June 5th. Now here's the catch. We need half of you to come to one night, and we need the other half of you to come to the other night. Here's how we're going to go about trying to facilitate that. If you normally go to the 9 a.m. South, 9 a.m. North, or 11:15 South, we'd ask that if you're willing and able to go to the Wednesday night service. If you regularly go to the Saturday night service, the 11:15 North, or Fusion, hello, then we'd ask that you join us on the Thursday night evening. Those represent relatively equal numbers of our church family, and so we're hoping that that would help us to make room for everybody. In addition to that, we know we're all excited and we all want more of the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask that you graciously self-limit yourself to coming to one night of the Holy Spirit prayer and ministry and worship time. It's going to be lit, right? But we want to... Holy Spirit fire. Oh, there's all sorts of connections there. But we're going to ask that you would come to one night. The purpose of that is that we would all have room and be able to minister to in that way. I'm so excited to be continuing in our series on the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, and why it matters. Hasn't this been a blessing of a series already? I know that I personally have been so encouraged, felt so equipped, and really just so inspired by knowing about the personal, powerful presence that is always with us. And tonight, it's my assignment, it's my job, but also my joy to be able to teach us about how the Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. And so to get us into that, I want to jump into John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And here, Jesus is bringing to a close what's known as the farewell discourse. Basically, Jesus has done daily life with his disciples for 2 to 3 years, but all of that's about to change because Jesus is about to go to the cross, his execution, then he's going to raise from the dead, and then he's going to ascend. And so this reality of daily life with Jesus in the flesh is coming to an end. And so Jesus is speaking to his disciples one last time. What's he telling them? What is the comfort that he's offering in that moment? What's he going to tell them so that the Jesus kind of life doesn't have to end when the life with Jesus in the flesh does end? What kind of comfort is Jesus giving? And it comes here in John chapter 16, verse 7. He says, but in fact, it's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. That word advocate right there, in the Greek, it's the word parakletos, right? And when transliterated into English, it's the much more manageable English word paraclete, right? And so that's the word we'll be using tonight. Jesus is saying that it's better that he leaves and he sends the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, in his place. So first of all, as followers of Jesus in the 21st century, we need to reconcile the fact that we're building our whole lives on a man that hasn't been seen physically in over 2,000 years. So in order to be functioning, rational adults, we need to be able to answer the question, in what way is Jesus not limited to that one moment in history? Right? Is there any substantive way in which his presence and his ministry continues throughout history? But in addition to that, when I hear Jesus say that it's better for him to go so the Holy Spirit can come, my initial response is, actually, Jesus, you're wrong. I don't think that's true, God. Like, I think you should rethink what you said. Wow. But the more I've been reflecting on that, the more I've been reflecting on my disbelief for what Jesus said, that it's better that he would go and send the Holy Spirit, the more I'm realizing, wow, that's probably coming from a place of not fully experiencing the depth of who the Holy Spirit is. And so my prayer now for me and for us is that by faith, God would close the gap to where we would come to a place of saying, it is better that Jesus left so that we could have the Holy Spirit in us. That's my prayer and my hope for us. But as for the fact of in what way is he subsistently coming through history towards us? In what way is he still tangible? It reminds me of this thing that I've always heard of. I don't quite understand, but it's this thing called Woodstock. Maybe some of you know more than me. I wasn't alive when this happened. I think that was God's protection over my life. But apparently, Woodstock was this really big deal music festival in 1969. And apparently, it was really awesome, because it's kind of become this golden standard of what a music festival should be. And from what I hear, again, this is very, not personal knowledge. From what I hear is that people in the music festival scene are trying to get back to Woodstock, right? In some way, trying to recreate that experience, but everything so far has fallen short of this golden, muddy standard, right? Here's the thing. Said another way, some people are building some life pursuit around this event that happened and ended in history. And so some people that chase after getting back to Woodstock are actually chasing after a non-reality because it's locked, it's trapped in that moment of history, and it's not moving forward. But there is a fundamental difference between Jesus and Woodstock, and maybe you didn't need a pastor to instruct you in that way. There are a lot of ways that it's different. One way that I want to focus on in this very moment is this. The only way that Woodstock moves on into the future is through its memory. And as followers of Jesus, we're forced to ask the question, is that true of Jesus too? Wow. Is the only way that he moves forward in history through his memory? A little while before the farewell discourse, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they say, Jesus, to who else would we go? Only you have the eternal life. Only you have the words of eternal life. And now Jesus is leaving, and they're forced to come back to that question. Now who do we go to? Who else does have the words of eternal life? Come with me to this moment with the disciples. If I was there, I'd be feeling pretty anxious. This man that I've done daily life with for the past 2 to 3 years, that I've staked my whole life on, he's leaving? Where else am I going to go now? Graciously, before his departure, Jesus made it clear that he didn't just have a plan in place. He wasn't just going to send something to comfort them. He was going to send someone to comfort them. He doesn't just offer something more, he offers someone else. When Jesus says that the paraclete will guide his disciples, both in that moment and us, present day, into all truth. What he's saying is the paraclete will continue to lead the followers of Jesus into experiences with Jesus' own personal presence and power. So the good news for us tonight is that no, Jesus is not locked in some moment in history, because through the mediation of the Holy Spirit, he's with us even in this moment right now. You see, Jesus' death didn't rob all future believers of experiencing his presence and power, because the Holy Spirit brings that forward. And he brings it to us even tonight. And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to explore what it means that the paraclete, that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. What does that mean for us tonight, here, now? And I believe that whenever we come into contact with God's word, we're in danger of hearing from God himself. And so as we come to God's word right now, I have faith that God's going to speak to us afresh, that God's going to give us more insight into who he is and who we are in reflection of that. So would you guys pray with me in faith that God would speak to us right now? Lord Jesus, you're an incredibly good God. Thank you that you didn't leave us abandoned. You didn't leave us, but you sent someone, the perfect person, to be with us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. Jesus, I still wrestle with that verse, that it's better that you leave and he can come with us. And so tonight, I pray that you would help us to let our imaginations run wild with how awesome it would be for you to be with us in person, and then by faith, you would close the gap and convince us that actually it's better that the Holy Spirit is in our lives. So good. Pray that you would do that work in us tonight. In the one and only name of Jesus, amen. Fusion. It's CA Students Weekend. One little thing we do at CA Students is we have an encouragement. We call it a talk back culture. And Fusion already does this some, but I want to ask you guys, if you hear me say something good, I give you permission, my pastoral blessing, to say that out loud, right? To say, that's good. Just, if you hear anything that makes you, that causes you to make this face, like, you know, kind of like when someone, like, playing stanky bass, you know, like that's when you say amen, right? Like that's when the blessing, you know. And so, here's the thing, we don't do this to get hypey. We do this to build hope.
Come on.
Right? What happens is when someone next to you says amen to something, you're like, oh, they have some faith.
Yeah.
I can have faith too, you know. And it builds the faith of the room, and we become a people that is more receptive to what God is doing. And it's way more fun. So can we do it this weekend? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go.
Preach it. Come on,
so the Holy Spirit, as the paraclete, he's the one that continues the presence and ministry of Jesus to us, even today. So what does that mean for us? What roles does the paraclete take up to minister Jesus' work to us? Well, the Greek word, the English word paraclete, remember, comes from parakletos, which is a noun in the Greek. Here we go. We're going deep. And that Greek noun comes from the Greek, it derives from the Greek verb parakaleo. Ooh. Say parakaleo.
Yeah. Parakaleo.
Yeah, we're going there. Right? And the Greek verb parakaleo most generally means to call someone alongside to help. And so the parakletos, guess who that is? That's the one who comes alongside to help. Let's take a moment to stop. That's God we're talking about. Right? Yes, he does sometimes send people to come and help us along, but also he does it himself.
Wow.
He does it, God, the God of the universe, does that in person for you. He comes alongside to help you. And I kind of get this image of like someone doing some long distance running. I was not made for that, right? And so like, I don't know whether they're injured or dehydrated or me, and you're at the end of a long race and you're just kind of like, like trying to finish, you know? And you're not going to finish unless you get some help. Let me be a little more specific. You're not going to fish unless you get a helper.
Wow.
Right? And Bo, if you would come, just help me to illustrate this. Wait, if I'm limping, I need someone that's going to come alongside me and help me to the finish line.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Fusion, for the rest of tonight, when I say the word paraclete, picture this.
Yeah.
Picture this man that is helping me to do what I was not able to do previously.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks so much, bro.
That's good. That's
and can
good.
I and can I just say to you, Bo, that wasn't just a sermon illustration. You are a paraclete in my life. You are a paraclete to me and to so many people in this room. Yeah. It's, thank you for the work you do, coming alongside us, yeah. making us able. Man, I love you. He hired me also. I'm grateful for that. talk about coming alongside and providing a job. Hallelujah. God is good. Here's the thing. The word paraclete, most generally, is talking about the one who comes alongside to help. But there are many more beautiful, specific connotations along with that. And we don't want to lose even one of them by translating it into just one English word. We saw already that in some ways it's translated advocate. Other areas it's translated comforter, helper, exhorter, counselor. And it's just, we're talking about a broad semantic range of the Greek verb parakaleo, right? And so that's, I like to tell my students that, like, when we teach them something technical, like, go home and tell your parents that you learned about the broad semantic range, about the Greek, biblical Greek word parakaleo. Yeah. Tell your parents that. Tell them that you learn in church. So whoever it is that you go home to, just get ready to drop that bomb on them, you know, when you go home. You're like, oh, that church is cool. Yeah, you should come. Giving you an in. Yeah, dropping bars. Thank you. I've received that, you know. Yes. So with the time that we have remaining, would you come with me? We're just going to look at a few definitions of what it means that God is our paraclete. Does that sound all right?
Yes.
Let's go. First, the paraclete is our advocate.
Yes.
The paraclete is our advocate. What is an advocate? One definition says a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause, policy, or person. Some synonyms are champion, promoter, backer, and even protector. Again, let's stop. That's God we're talking about. Can it be that my God publicly supports me? Can it be that my God champions me, that he even protects me? Can it be that my God is so irrevocably on my side? That's the truth of Scripture that we're talking about tonight. John, one area that I want to focus in on the way that the Holy Spirit advocates for us is he advocates for truth in our lives. Specifically, he advocates for truth about who we are in God. I want to look at John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. Jesus speaking, he says, "But I will send you the advocate, the paraclete, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry." I love that the advocate, the paraclete, is the Spirit of truth. And can we just be honest that we need that? Because as human beings, we have a terrible track record of believing lies, wow. right? If we go to the biblical story, page 3, yep. and everything goes downhill because of a lie. God, in his generosity, created a good, beautiful world. And he assigned humans to make the most out of it. And then page 3, an enemy comes and deceives them with 2 simple lies that still ravage humanity today. The first one, God is not that good. The second one, sin is not that bad. Wow. So much of human suffering and brokenness is tied into the result of those 2 lies. God's not that good. You can't really trust him. He's holding out on you. The good life is not with him. Or sin, oh man, it's just affecting you. You don't need to worry about that. It's not even that bad. These 2 lies have destroyed humanity for as long as we've been around. And you know what? That enemy in chapter 3 of the Bible that deceived them, elsewhere in the Bible, he's called the father of lies. That's what he does. And so right there, right now, we come to the conflict that every human ever has experienced. Are we going to give our ear to the father of lies or to the Spirit of truth? There are 2 competing voices that we are dealing with. But we need to be honest that the problem wasn't just with Adam and Eve so many years ago. And it wasn't just with humans up until now. And it's not just with humans out there, but it's me. And it's us. We have a problem with believing and receiving lies. Have you ever believed something about yourself that's not in alignment with God's word? Maybe you hear statements in your head, something like, man, God doesn't love me. He knows what I've done. If he knows that, he wouldn't love me. God could never forgive me for that. It's too late for me. I should just give up. I'm worthless. No one wants to be with me. Or maybe you've even felt like some of these kinds of statements have come from God himself. Maybe you feel like you've heard God saying, you always fail. You know what? You are a failure. And I'm just disappointed with you. Or maybe if you're really like that, then I don't actually want you. Fusion, friends, brothers, sisters, that's not God's voice. Amen. And you know how I know that's not God's voice? I know it's not God's voice because it's a lie. Amen. Because it's not the truth. That is the voice of the father of lies, who is elsewhere called the accuser of the brethren. Did you know that Satan is not a name, it's a title, and it means accuser? That's what he does. That's his plan. That's how he operates. He is at work to deceive us, to upset our foundation, our status as delighted in, loved, favored, and chosen children of the Most High God. Here's the thing. The father of lies may be our accuser, but the spirit of truth is our advocate. And I'll tell you what, he is more than a match for any lie that the accuser can throw at us. And so what we need to do now is every time we receive a statement or a voice like that, we instantly need to discern, is this coming from my accuser or is this coming from my advocate? Because I'm not going to give my ear to both. I'm only going to give my ear to my advocate. The advocate, the paraclete, he's the spirit of truth. He will always align with God's word and with God's voice. Those statements before were lies. They were lies. That's not what God's truth is for you. The advocate will be speaking truth to you. If you are in Christ tonight, let me tell you some truth. Let me tell you a little bit of what God will say to you. He'll say, oh no, it's not too late. In fact, the work that I began in you, I'm the one that's going to bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. He says, I love you. Even on your worst day, I still love you. In fact, that's exactly when I died for you. Romans is the one that said, while we were yet enemies of God, that's when he died for us. Or maybe he's going to say something like, you have a destiny in me. And it would blow your mind if you could see it. Ephesians 2:10, I have prepared in advance good works for you to do. Maybe you're in a situation that feels overwhelming, like I can't get out of this. Well, he says, actually, I'm going to work all things for the good of those who love me and are called according to my purpose. That's the voice of truth in our life. That is the voice of the advocate. And it will always align with the truth of God's word. Here's the thing. That doesn't mean that it's always going to be warm and fuzzy, what the Holy Spirit has to say. Sometimes what he say will hurt. But let me ask you something. Have you ever heard of surgery? That hurts, but it's very good for you. Sometimes things that hurt are precisely the things we need. Sometimes things that hurt are exactly the things that will save us.
Come on, teacher, go ahead.
Let me tell you something. Love is not merely acquiescing to what someone else feels like or thinks is true. Love is willing the absolute best for them and doing what it takes to bring that about. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And so if we are walking outside of step with the Spirit, he will absolutely correct us. Why? Because he loves us. Not because he loves showing us we're wrong. It's because he loves saving us. He loves bringing us back into alignment with him. Yes, the paraclete will tell us truth, but it's always with the tone of love and kindness. Here's the thing. The accuser will only ever bring condemnation. But there's a very big difference between condemnation and conviction. And I've read Romans 8. I know that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, of which I am one. And so if I ever am experiencing condemnation, I already know that is the voice of the accuser, not the advocate. And I can already tone it out. That's not for me. That's not for me. I'm going to wait for my advocate to speak because he's the only one that gets my ear. Here's the thing. Condemnation says you failed and it's over. You are your failure.
Wow.
But conviction says, you failed, it's not over yet.
Okay, bro.
You know why? It's because you're not your failure. You're a son or daughter of the Most High God. And that's who you are before you ever did anything. Our identity is rooted in our sonship or our daughtership in the Most High God, not in our actions. Did you know the gospel has never been primarily about what you have to offer? It's always been about what the Most High God has done on our behalf. And we respond to that. Fusion, it's crucial to know the difference between those two voices. And to know that our God He's not the accuser. He's the advocate. He's going to be speaking truth. And he's going to come alongside and help us. So first, the paraclete is the advocate. Second, the paraclete is our helper. The paraclete is our helper. One hugely important way that the paraclete helps us is through exhortation. Anyone use that SAT word already today? You know, I really exhort you. Thanks, man. You know, maybe we should use that more often. Here's what exhortation means. It's to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. Some adjectives are to encourage, to charge, or try to persuade. Again, we need to pause. This is God we're talking about. God is the one who comes alongside and says, you got this. Why? Because I'm carrying you. But you got this. He encourages us. He makes us able. I think of a marathon runner. Runners run better, further, and faster when people are cheering them on. Because that's what we were designed for. Can you imagine with me? You have to run a marathon, but the rules are you cannot run with anyone, you cannot have anyone on the sidelines cheering you, you cannot listen to music. Anyone else think that might be what literal hell is? Yeah, okay, thank you. Me too. Why? When people are running marathons, they invite as many people as they can get to come to cheer them on because human beings were designed to be cheered on. Let me tell you what happens when someone's exhorted. They end up being convinced of something they didn't previously believe about themselves, and that belief leads them to a different action. And so exhortation doesn't just make you feel better about something, it actually makes you able to do something. I remember this one time, man, I made a terrible decision when I was a freshman in high school. I decided to run cross country. And your boy is a sprinter, like track and field. I love running the 100-meter dash. Anything more than one lap and I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I'm repenting. I'm wondering what led me to this moment, right? And so cross-country races, they're not that long. They're 3 miles, right? But I was suffering, and I was trying to finish this race. You know, when you're running, there's like you're going as fast as walking, but it's called the survival shuffle. You know, like, just going to finish this race. I hate this. No one's having fun. My teammates are passing me, not cheering me on. They don't like me. I don't like me. You know, just running, trying to finish this race. And then we get to where there's about just like maybe a quarter mile left. And the track I was running on kind of loops right at the end. And so the finish line was right about where I was. And I made eye contact with my life group leader. And I didn't know he was going to be there. And so I'm running, and he's like, you got this, Levi. You better run this race. You better finish. And you know what happened, Fusion? He convinced me. Yeah. I was like, I can run this race. Like, I'm about to run so hard. You know, and I finished that race in a way I would not have been able to without him. Yeah. Why? Because I was exhorted. I was convinced of a truth about myself that I couldn't see without someone else. This is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. This is what God, the God of the universe, is doing for us. He's speaking truth to us that we can't see without him. And it leads to different actions in our lives. Here's the thing. If that's true, then what is it that the Holy Spirit is exhorting us to do? Well, he's the Spirit that's continuing the work and presence of Jesus. What was Jesus trying to do? That could be a long answer. Let's try to sum it up, right? What did Jesus pray? He said, our Father who's in heaven, your name is holy. May your kingdom come on earth just like it is in heaven. Elsewhere, he also was teaching, he said, the most important commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one's very similar, to love other people like yourself. Fusion. What if we believed that the Holy Spirit wasn't just calling us to do these things, but he was actually making us able to do them? What if we believed that he wasn't just calling us to manifest the kingdom wherever we are, but when we go to do that, he's right there with us doing it, with us? What if we believed that when we were with that very annoying coworker, that he was making us able to love them? What if that person that's never asked, that's never said sorry, that's never asked for forgiveness, what if the paraclete was making us able to forgive them? Wow. What if we had the faith to believe that he doesn't just make us feel better about our situation, but he makes us able? Yeah. in our situation. You see, the Holy Spirit, he's the one who comes alongside. So his encouragement, it transforms from you can do it to we can do it. Yes. We can finish this race together. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. He is our helper. Next, he is our intercessor.
Come on.
The Holy Spirit is our intercessor. First, what's an intercessor? The definition is to intervene on behalf of another. And specifically, talking about through prayer. So listen to what I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit, as in God, is praying for you. That's not against the rules. Like, that only happens with the triune God. Praise the Hallelujah. You know, like, let's go. Like, can that even happen? Apparently it does. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Thank you, Lord. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. This passage is saying the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. What weakness is it talking about? I think it's a little bit more than just the inability to accomplish a particular task. I think in this text, it's referring to the state of not yet being fully redeemed. You see, here's the thing. When Jesus came to earth, he inaugurated the kingdom of God, a new society, a new way of living. Heaven invaded earth. Yes. And at that moment, the kingdom of God came here truly. The kingdom of God is here truly, but scripture is also clear that the kingdom of God is not yet here fully.
That's right.
That's yet in the future. So guess what? We live in the in-between time. The kingdom of God is here truly, but it's not yet here fully. We are saved. We are redeemed. And one day that process will come to completion, right? But right now we live in the in-between. What does that mean? Quite simply, it means we need help. We need help to live the lives that God is calling us to live. And let me take it one step further. It's not just that we need help, but we need help sometimes to know what we need help for.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you ever been in an utterly overwhelming situation where it's not just that you didn't know what to do, but it's that you didn't even know what to pray?
Yeah.
Maybe you've received just a crushing diagnosis. Maybe your financial situation isn't even a situation anymore, it's just a disaster. Maybe someone you love let you know that they just don't want to do this anymore. Your situation is so big, it's so out of your control, you don't even know what to pray. People like us that are not yet fully redeemed and overwhelmed by the obstacles in our path, we don't just need hope, we need help to see hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need help to see past the current obstacle into the future that God is bringing us into. And by the way, he's not one that's standing at the finish line saying, try harder, run faster, do better. But he's the one who in the middle of the race sees the suffering, says, let's do this. He's the one bringing that future to pass. That's exactly the intercession that the Holy Spirit provides. He guides us in what to pray, and he prays on our behalf. When you don't even have words to pray, the Holy Spirit hears even that. And he responds to it. I remember Jacob Park, he was just up here helping lead us in worship. He's led worship for so many years, so faithfully at CA. And he's just such an older brother in the faith to me. I'm so grateful for him. And I remember this one time he was leading us in worship. And he said, one of the most profound prayers you can ever pray is this. Jesus. Because when we pray that prayer, we're acknowledging we don't even know what to say. God, all I know is I need you to break through. I need you to pull through.
Yeah.
I don't know the words to ask Jesus, but I know the name to ask.
Wow.
And our God can pull through for me. When you don't even know what to pray, he hears even that. And let me tell you, elsewhere in Scripture, it also says that Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father, ready to intercede for us. Let me tell you, I was a math major in college. What that means is that there are 2/3 of the Trinity ready to pray for you, and there's 1/3 of the Trinity ready to answer.
Wow.
And that's a really good situation to be in. The paraclete is our advocate. The paraclete is our helper. The paraclete is our intercessor. One more thing I want to draw out is the paraclete is our comforter. The paraclete is our comforter. I love this definition of the verb comfort. It's to ease the grief or distress of. It's to console. John chapter 14, verse 16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or paraclete. In this, we can translate it comforter, that he may be with you forever. You see, a fundamental aspect of what the Holy Spirit does is abiding with and in the community of faith, the community of followers of Jesus. He makes Jesus, his presence and his power, present to us. In our moments of weakness. Yes. And who knows that when you're suffering, what you really want is presence.
That's right.
What you really want is someone to be with you.
That's right, bro.
And not necessarily to fix it, but to sit and maybe not even talk, right? I remember this one time, I was my sophomore year out at APU, and I was just totally overwhelmed with my situation. I was stressed out. I was anxious. I think I was actually even a little bit depressed. And then I called my mom. And who knows that second only to the Holy Spirit are mothers in terms of bringing comfort to this world. My mom's right there. Mom, I love you. I honor you. You've led me to Jesus so well. You're not crying. I'm not crying. You're crying. We're both crying. Here's the thing. My mom, she just told me she loved me. She prayed for me. And she didn't change my circumstances except for that I was no longer alone. And let me tell you, that was enough for me right then. And let me tell you something else. That's enough for us. Let's take a second to step back. This is God we're talking about. The God of the universe, the God of creation. It's the God who comes near. He named himself Emmanuel, which means God with us. He takes being with us very seriously. I wasn't able to comfort myself. I needed someone else. I didn't just need help. I needed a helper. And that's exactly what our God provided for me in that moment. One other crucial way the Holy Spirit brings comfort into our lives is that he reminds us of the love of the Father. I love this scene in the Gospels when Jesus is coming to be baptized. And it's at the very beginning. And he's baptized and he comes out of the water. And this dove, in the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, ascends on him. And this light from heaven, a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son whom I love. In him I'm well pleased." So God the Father is speaking to the Son, saying, "That's my boy and I love him." Let me tell you something interesting.
Yeah.
That came before Jesus did any miracles. Yeah. That came before he taught anything. That came before he healed anyone. That came before his obedience to go to the cross. That came before the empty tomb. That came before the ascension.
Yeah.
Before Jesus had done anything, he already had the Father's love and affirmation on him. What if we could believe that that's what's offered to us? That before we do or don't do anything, we already are children of the Most High God. I think of Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. You've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we cry out, "Abba, Father." Listen to this. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. You know what I think of? When I fail, the Holy Spirit's right with me, convincing me,
"That's
you're
right.
Still a child."
That's right.
And when I succeed, he's still there, "You were already a child." And whatever I do next, the Holy Spirit's at work convincing me of the truth that I already have my Father's love. That I don't need to anxiously strive and live my whole life for something I already have. This is the good news that Jesus is offering to us. You know, being a child is the opposite of earning.
Wow.
It's the very epitome of being loved just because of who you are.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of comfort that the Holy Spirit wants to remind us about. And Aiden, if you'd join me, we'll wrap up in just a few moments. You know, I love that Jesus isn't some blind idealist. As he was leaving, he's like, "You know, guys, this is going to be really hard. And it's probably going to be even harder because you chose to follow me. But he also says, you're going to have trouble, but don't be troubled. And if you're like me, you have to ask, okay, how? Okay, Jesus, how? And he says, it's because I'm sending somebody. It's because I'm sending the Holy Spirit who's going to be with you. So if all of this is true about the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, he's our advocate, our strengthener, our comforter, our intercessor, our exhorter, then what does that mean about us? I want to offer one simple idea, that these are more than things that God does to us, but they're actually windows into who we are in God. We're able to see our own identity through these things. What I'm talking about is that as followers of Jesus, we always understand our identity in response to his identity. We always know who we are because of who he already is. And so if he is the comforter, that means I'm the comforted.
Yes, that's good.
If he's the advocate, then I'm the advocated for. If he's the strengthener, I'm the made strong. If he's the helper, and not just the all right or okay helper, but the all-sufficient helper, then I'm the sufficiently helped. Life with God starts and is maintained by knowing who we are in Jesus Christ. Fusion, do you know who you are? Do you know that God is praying for you? Do you know that God is coming alongside you to comfort you, just to be with you? Do you know that he's making you able to do things you weren't before? He's encouraging you. Did you know that if you're in Christ, you are more defined by his sufficiency than by your lack?
Come on, come on.
If you are in Christ, then your inability isn't the end of the story because it's covered by his ability. If you're in Christ, your weakness doesn't have the last word because his strength already does. That's what it means to be in Christ. And that's what's offered to us through the Paraclete.
Right.
Is anyone else feeling comforted tonight? Let's take just a moment to apply this to our lives. If you would be willing, can we just bow our heads in a prayerful response to this moment? I want to address a few different types of people in the room. Maybe you're hearing this and you are thinking, man, I've never actually given my faith to Jesus, but if that personal, powerful presence is what I get, then I'm in. And if that's you, then I would want to tell you that what was true of me and what was true of everyone else in this room is that you don't just need a helper, you need a savior. But the good news is that there is a more than sufficient and a more than willing savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so if that's you in this room right now, I just want to encourage you to, in your heart, repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, I recognize my sin, my shortcoming, my failure to live life your way. And I receive your perfect covering over that. I receive your forgiveness. And from this day forward, I commit to living my life with you as my King. And if you prayed that, the Holy Spirit even now has come to be with you, come alongside to help you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, I need an advocate. I need the Spirit of truth to combat the lies of the enemy. Well, the good news is the advocate is ready to silence the lies of the accuser. He's more than a match. Ask him now to speak truth to you. And Fusion, can I encourage you, beg you, read your Bibles a lot. It's full of his truth to you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, I need some encouragement. I need to be exhorted. Well, the exhorter is ready to call out the best in you and make you able to do what you weren't before. So ask him now to strengthen and encourage you for the task set before you. Maybe you're thinking that I need intercessor. I don't just need some prayer. I need God's prayer for me. Well, the helper and intercessor is ready to help your situation and even pray for it specifically. And if you feel like you don't even have the words to pray, that's okay. He understands even that. Ask him now to help you and intercede on your behalf. Maybe you're here and you're suffering, you're feeling alone, and you just need some comfort. You need a comforter. Well, the comforter is here to be with you, to lift you up. Did you know Jesus is the only God who suffered on humankind's behalf? And yes, that involved lessening our suffering, but even more than that, his suffering allows him to identify with us in our suffering. He gets it. He knows what suffering's like, and so he can be with us in a way unlike any other. The Comforter is ready to comfort you and remind you why you can trust him. Ask him now to be near you in your suffering and remind you of how he has come through in the past. And so, Holy Spirit, Paraclete, you are the one that continues the work, the power and presence of Jesus in our lives now. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in our community. We give you full reign to do your transforming work in our lives. The work of Jesus, the miracle working, healing, bringing, death conquering kind of work. We give you free reign in our community. Do that kind of work. We're asking you, we're begging you. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, do your work in our lives. We love you. We trust you. Go with us from this place. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.